You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Luca finally said what we've been thinking for a couple of years. I'm fat.
You're fat?
No, he's fat.
Well, I've been thinking you've been fat for a couple of years, too.
You know what? I looked at a picture last night of me and Tony Khan, who was in studio a couple of weeks ago. I sent it to him. He asked me to send it to him. Holy shit, am I fat. Like, no, it's
the
like...
The heaters did that to you, too, man.
They're supposed to make you skinnier.
Well, no, but you're also grieving, Stugatz. You didn't grieve. Like, we were in the pandemic, no. And you didn't grieve. We went right to jokes, trying to keep people laughing, and
true.
You ate a bunch of cigarettes.
I did. That was my grieving process.
You gained 20 pounds in cigarettes, and then you'll have to run
I was
it.
Smoking them, eating them.
You'll right. have to go jogging, and some ash will fall out of your body, and you'll get back into shape.
Okay. It's interesting that you it's interesting that you think the big NBA weight story is Luka.
It's not.
Because Witty alerted me to the low post recently.
Hold on. If people don't know this, they're going to find this shocking if they don't know what these guys are about to say, because I did not know before I heard right
there's
before.
A more interesting fat story than Luca finally admitting I'm fat.
You tell me if this one's more interesting.
Yeah, so Zach Lowe and Tim McMahon of ESPN were having a conversation about Luca. He's like, well, he's like 260. And Tim McMahon goes, yeah, well, he's 260. I've heard from people in New Orleans that Zion Williamson is 260 plus 70. And I'm like, whoa. I was like listening on speed. And so I'm like, I slowed it down to 1x speed to like half speed.
That's like 290.
So you're I was like, I slowed it down to like half speed so that I need to hear this, because did Tim McMahon just say that people think that Zion Williamson is 330 pounds?
I don't know. Somebody's going to need to help me with the math of muscles, because and fat and how it is that we do some of these measurements. LeBron would not get on a scale when he was in Miami, because he didn't want people to know that he was over 280 for whatever his reasons. And obviously the way he carried 280 was bulky, but it was never out of shape. It was never fat. It was never looking like Luka or Zion does in some of these pictures. But if you tried to weigh Shaq during his playing days, I really don't know. 330 sounds unbelievable, but his density, I don't know even if he's maximum fit and I put him on a scale, what that dude is weighing. Can he possibly be anything other than 330 pounds that's 70 pounds overweight?
I think his training regimen, he obviously looked at his shape for the photos that we all saw. If his training regimen is just to lift after he put on all that girth, then the fat turns into muscle, but you get like this meat boned effect, and then you're even heavier than you would be if it were just fat. But I'm not a strength and conditioning coach, but I saw the photo of him in that red jumpsuit.
It looked awful.
And he looked heavy. He did.
I mean, he's 6'6". If you're 6'6", you should not be somewhere between 290 and 330.
Yeah, he's not. For his position and his style of play, he's undersized the way that Charles Barkley was.
Just so that you guys know what we're doing on measurements here, because this is a historically strong player in the post. I really don't know what his ideal playing weight would be. Like, I am alarmed, of like all of you are. Is that 70 pounds overweight? Is that flabby? Is that beignets? Like, is he now like trying to get back into shape but hasn't been able to get enough cardio in because his body's not, you know, functioning correctly? So now he's just getting thicker, and he's only, what, 22?
There was always a dietary concern with Zion Williamson and at Duke, but he's obviously, just from the body type, you can already assume he's gained tons and tons of weight after that. He is a very heavy set man right now, and that tracksuit that he was wearing was hugging his body. You can get an idea of his form. There weren't abs there.
He bought that like 2 years ago, and he's still trying to wear it. I mean,
it's always felt like Zion has played slightly overweight, because it always felt like his athleticism was too much to carry, that the power that he plays with is too much to it's too much to land at 270 pounds, which was, in theory, his kind of, you know, normal weight. But it's always, the conversation always been, he has to drop weight at some point, not because it impedes his ability to play, but that he can't stay healthy for 82 and potentially 28 more games. Like, he can't play that many games at the weight that he was at last year when he was playing Zion, when he nearly got the Pelicans into the playoffs. Like, that was unsustainable. This certainly is.
This is crazy, though, to think about, right? Because you're talking about largely a body that doesn't have precedent in the sport. You're talking about largely someone at that size able to do things at the rim in terms of strength and power and size that has very little precedent, if any, in the sport. And now you're telling me it needs to lose weight in order to stay healthy. Like, he has to make sure that he is losing weight to stay healthy. But if he loses weight, does he stop being Zion Williamson? Because if you keep losing,
he'll always be Zion Williamson, Dan. Okay?
Yes, you're okay. He can keep the name, but you understand what I'm saying.
It feels like he's always going to have that explosiveness, right? Like, his most defining characteristic is being explosive. I don't think, I would have to think that that's hurt by carrying more weight, and that if he were 250, that he could be even more explosive. Like, it's not like he's Shaq sticking his backside into a defender in the post.
Oh, but it doesn't,
he just leaps out of the gym.
It doesn't hurt from 19 to 24. It's later. It's when you're talking about these guys as franchise guys across. I mean, LeBron's still carrying the franchise, no matter how old the Lakers are. That body has been carrying economies across the finish line for two decades. That, you know, like, that's the tribute to LeBron. Like, you're not. The danger spot that Zion's in right now is, oh, wait, no, really, are you going to be weight fluctuation guy? You're not going to figure this out. Your body's going to start breaking down. You're going to squander one of the great bodies and athleticisms we've ever seen because of weight issues, joint issues, health issues. Yeah, that's interesting, because I think at this point you see a picture like that, and what does it do other than cast doubt over which way is this story headed?
The whole conversation makes me uncomfortable. Like, do we know what his health is? Like, that health is a deeply personal thing that I just don't think we have all of the information at. I don't think we can make assumptions that his weight and his health are correlated in any way without being his physician.
But we've seen him get hurt in every season he's played basketball.
Like, and you're assuming that it's because of his weight, but you don't know that.
I don't know that, but it can't.
It can't help.
It can't help.
Right. You don't know that. You don't know that. Like, that's not a fact.
I wouldn't trust a 330-pounder trying to play an NBA basketball game with his body type at 6'6". I would say that's really unhealthy.
But Shaq did it across.
That's a lot of weight.
7'1".
Like, it's the weight, like, that Barkley he's carrying was on his so lean. Like,
I think I called him chubby the other day, round mound of rebound. But I mean, Barkley was so lean and so quick. He was not north of 300 pounds, and he's the same height as Zion.
If his game is not just jumping out of the gym, but also landing, and he is landing at, let's estimate,
putting that weight on it, right?
45 pounds overweight, that is crashing down on his joints. I would be concerned if I'm making an investment to him. And Zion, I know that there's already a lot of rumors about him wanting to leave New Orleans already. It's hard to believe that we've been there that we're here already, because I feel like he, in his time in New Orleans, he hasn't been playing longer than he has been playing. But if you want to be that kind of in-demand talent, it can't be like this. I really hope we see the Zion that we saw playing his best ball.
They haven't gotten to the spot where they have to give him. No one's ever not taken the large deal that Zion would be due if he simply weren't eating too much, correct? Like, he, correct me on where we are on his contract status, because he's got a decision to make soon. He can eat his way out of the league
to
from
Jess's
here.
To Jess's point, I'm not necessarily sure we should say eat his way. You eat like a cow would eat. But you have grown over the last few years. You're not stuffing your face with Mountain Dew and hot Cheetos. Every time I offer you some sort of junky food, you say you can't eat it. But you've grown.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that it's sports, and so physical shape and ability is a big factor in that. But I think that when we are talking about his weight, we should be careful that we're linking that with his health, because weight is not necessarily an indicator on health. And I think that the way that we talk about weight is very stigmatized.
But can you help me with this? Because I would think that it would be allowed where we're talking about joints and just common sense, because Vince Carter says at the end of a career where he has taken care of his body throughout, that the only problem with dunking, and he'll be able to do it 50 or 60, is landing. And if people have worried about his weight and tied it to his ability to stay healthy, what part of that would not be fair to talk about? What part of that is, what link am I making there that is not a fair
one to
make?
You're saying we're not doctors, that we can't.
Yeah, I just think that, like, it's a really personal thing, and it's something in this country that a lot of people struggle with. It's a huge contributor to mental illness for a lot of people. So listening to people speculate about someone's weight and whether or not they're healthy is something that I think is something that you need to be really careful with when we're having these conversations. I don't think that it's necessarily completely off limits. I know that, like,
we're talking about sports, though. Like, this is, like,
yeah,
if we get on Stugatz all the time for smoking heaters before the show because it's bad for your voice. Like, we know it's bad for your voice. Your voice is your instrument. Your body, in this case, is your instrument. LeBron James invests millions of dollars in his instrument because he knows it's the most fundamental part of his being. And we know that being in shape is good for sports. Like, that's fundamental. And I know that there are various versions of it. Like you said, Dan, like LeBron carrying 280 is a lot different than what we're talking about. But I disagree with the notion that we shouldn't talk about Zion when this is his, you know, this is his career.
I agree with that, Dan. Just on the contract stuff real quick. So Zion is in his third season. Luka, after his second season, signed that rookie extension where he signed the 5-year, $207 million rookie extension. There's no way you would pay Zion Williamson that kind of money right now. You cannot have any confidence that he's going to be healthy moving forward. You can't.
I think Jessica has a pretty good governor for things here, too. And so we should be careful about how we're talking about it, because she's right. Like, I have no idea how Zion. I know a pandemic happened, and I myself gained weight throughout the pandemic.
It's the way we've always talked about this, okay? To be clear, this space has been absent, this perspective, in the history of talking about sports in mainstream media, because objectifying a fat guy or skinny guy in sports, I've lived it. Okay. I've been right at the center of, you're allowed to do it to me and drag me all over the place. I'm fat guy. It's allowed. 2021, for whatever the reason, stigmas, everything else. I, from the perspective of fat guy, can speak on behalf of fat guys here. Zion Williamson getting to 330, every man in this audience who's a sports fan is going, uh-oh, is just going, uh-oh, when combining it with the pictures, because he's a young man.
The fact that he's not playing.
Well, I think weight and ability are two different conversations. Is the weight causing an inability to play at the highest level? It's possible. We don't know that for a fact. Like, we haven't really been able to see him play because he's been injured. Do we think his weight's contributing to his injuries? I don't know that. I don't think that's an assumption that we can all make. We don't know what's going on with him, and we don't know that weight contributes to those types of injuries. Like, I haven't seen any studies on that. I don't know if that's true.
I see your point, but just evaluating it just from my background, which is not very educated in this whatsoever, if you tell me you make the investment to draft Zion Williamson number one, and by what are we now, year three?
This is his third year, yes.
It's tricky with NBA seasons. And then
he hasn't played a game yet this year.
But year three, he hasn't played a game. He showed up into camp out of shape from all indications, just from year-over-year photographs that we've seen at media days. In terms of an investment,
it is a bit shadowy and weird, right? Why aren't we getting more information? Like, why are we not just sitting Zion in front of some people who can talk to where he is mentally? Are we afraid to put him in front of cameras? Like, what?
So let's separate the two, because Jess is making fair points and things that we should consider. Separate the two. The fact that he is, I don't care what Jess says, he's overweight, okay, and he's injury prone. So separate the two. They have nothing to do with one another, which is a fair thing for you to say and call us out on. You still can have zero confidence in signing Zion Williamson.
Jess is right to say, yes, you don't know what the cause and effect is.
Agreed.
But I do know a cause for him getting effective on the court is getting closer to the playing weight that we saw him perform at an elite level. There is just no way, knowing what I know about his game, knowing that he's undersized, carrying all that weight at his frame. Look, it was pretty ridiculous that he was doing it at the weight that he was doing it. Now you make it a 330. I had never seen someone operate the way Zion had in terms of body type and how he carried his weight. And the strength was a big part of that, the explosiveness. At 330, I don't see Zion being that kind of player anymore. And that would be very worrying if I were a New Orleans person.
Could we talk to Stan Van Gundy about something like that as a fellow fat person in sports who also is someone who at every turn, Stugatz, I have found Stan Van Gundy to be really bright and informed about the things in sports that are kind of bullshit all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that Stan would be pretty interesting on the subject of, I still don't understand what happened to him in New Orleans. They were playing better. They were doing better. And I don't know. Zion Williamson did seem to be, as far as I could tell, in good shape when he was with Stan, right? And this could be Penn.
The playing better part is very overstated. They just weren't getting the results they expected with Stan Van Gundy. And there were a lot of people that weren't responding to Stan's self-coaching.
Right, but something.
But in terms of his play and his conditioning.
Something went wrong. They had improved in places, whatever, statistically. I'm making Stan's argument for him on why it is that he believes he should have stayed. But now they're worse, and they're worse because Zion's not out there. But the whole thing's built around him. Like, the only way that that can spring, the only way as a franchise that can spring board is if he's a star. It's not going to be Ingram or any of their other guys. Like, he's got to,
I mean, Ingram's pretty good, but they need Zion to be great.
A star.
Yes. Not just a star, Dan. Coming out of college, I mean, people were saying that he could be the next guy in the league, that he's next. Zion is next,
and he's
barely
incredible.
Played. Yeah, when he plays.
Yeah, I mean, yes. His last season, 61% from the field, 27 points a game, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He ran point for them at times. He is an unbelievably effective player when he's available.
Am I allowed, without it being irresponsible, to wonder about that frame, carrying a franchise, the responsibility of you come out of Duke after a year. You were never one of Zion Williamson, weirdly, his senior year of college, was not one of the big recruits in this country. Like, he was like third or fourth or fifth in like, I think on his team, maybe. I think it's possible that it was on his team or his region. So he was a big dunker, and people were like, well, that's not going to necessarily play in the league.
Zion was a huge high school prospect. Like, his games were on ESPN.
Upstate South Carolina.
What he was viral.
But he was raw. Dan's right.
He was viral, yes. Video. He was guy.
I would love to see this high school.
Third best player at Duke. It was alleged that he was the third best player getting to Duke. Not
when they got R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson. There was one other recruit that year. They thought he was the third of those three.
Cam Reddish.
Big giant dunker. Forgive me. Yes, you've got it right. In high school, he was a menace, and people couldn't believe that something like that was dunking at that size and was that athletic. You go to college for 1 year at Duke. Your life gets turned upside down. Super interesting team. Hugely interesting you college basketball team. You blow up
against
a shoe.
Against Carolina. Right.
And people wonder, oh, my God, is that going to cost him hundreds of millions of dollars, that body, right? The only concern you have is will that body that doesn't have a lot of precedent stay healthy?
Here's the ESPN rankings on the recruiting classes of that year. Number one, Barrett. Number two overall, Zion. Number three, Cam Reddish. In terms of pro prospects, maybe what Dan is saying is accurate, but they got the three main guys.
I said on Highly Questionable the entire year covering him. I said it the entire year that because I'd read it somewhere that Zion Williamson, because I discovered him in high school, like a lot of people did on Highly Questionable, and they told me again and again that he was the third best prospect on Duke, and that began the hype for the Duke season of how good is this team going to be if this giant dunker guy is their third best player. Zion Williamson goes to New Orleans and goes there as franchise savior. He is still a kid. Pandemic hits. He arrived. We worried a little about his weight, and then he came in super shredded. And you're like, well, of course, 20, 21 years old, gets in a professional setting. It's going to be militaristic. Next thing you know, he's going to be a monster machine, muscular, you know, 9% body fat, and he'll be a beast. And now you're looking at these pictures, and this is the heaviest you've seen him, right? Now,
by far, yes. The heaviest that anyone's ever seen Zion Williamson. Yeah. I mean, Dan, it's 330 pounds. That's the average weight of an offensive lineman. I mean, he's 6'6". And he's a basketball player.
And I do believe, though, we are in agreement, right, that at that age and in that sport, he could lose 50 pounds in 5 months.
He could. Yeah, I mean, playing yourself into shape is a real thing. Luka Doncic has basically done it every year, which is the origin of this conversation. You could do that. But there's going to be some struggles along the way. You'd imagine there's going to be some nights that he'll miss. And you're right, Jess. Like, ultimately, I can't prove that this is a 1+1=2 correlation. But all evidence of watching sports suggests that this is unsustainable. And that his health is at least somewhat dependent on his playing weight.
What? No, you can't say I think blah, 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 but I disagree with blah, blah, blah in the same sentence.
Jess, I don't like how you're making us think about this stuff.
Okay? I'm sorry. Like, no. I truly don't mean to be preachy about it or try to, like, be the Debbie Downer of every conversation. But, like, this is something that, like, listeners have reached out to me when we've talked about these issues and been like, thank you for saying X, Y, and Z. I have an eating disorder. And, like, it's important to hear that side of it. And I grew up with a family member who had an eating disorder, a very severe one that almost killed them multiple times. Went to rehab multiple times for months at a time because it's a really serious thing. And it's something that is largely baked into the way that we talk about not just athletes. And I understand it's a conversation about athletes first and foremost. And so there are the bodies of the athletes that are playing matter to the conversation in a way that it doesn't if you're someone who, you know, works at a desk or works in sales. But the way that we talk about health and weight is so... it's just so unfair, and I think people have just such a misunderstanding of how those things are actually correlated, and it's just something that, like, we as Americans do not really realize until we talk to someone who's like, hey, by the way, just because you weigh X weight doesn't mean you're unhealthy, and you're like, wow, really? Because everything that I saw growing up and everything that I learned growing up was that if you're fat, you're bad, and fat's unhealthy, and fat's ugly, and that's not true. Fat's okay. Oh,
thank you. I feel like the Stuart Smiley commercial right now. Thank you, Jess. Thank you for making it for me to be fat.
And me too.
Yeah, I've been this all my life. It's been a childhood insecurity, and I feel seen right now. And I feel protected, and I'm not actually making fun of eating disorder. I just, what am I supposed to do with Zion Williamson is 330 pounds? Is he going? Are his joints going to be able to sustain that level of play? Like, that seems to be pretty thinly sparse production to weight without judging him on an eating disorder. I guess saying eating his way out of the league is something that is pejorative. Well, but
I more so mean for people listening to this conversation who are then going to hear, like, the language and then apply it to themselves, because that's what we do with sports. Like, we see something and it's right. Used as an example that we then use in our own lives.
Well, I would also say that people would view Zion Williamson as being unprofessional for being, like, I think that that's what happens is when people end up at, you know, 330 pounds, you say, well, Zion's being unprofessional.
Oh, he threw it
by carrying that weight.
Oh, he threw it all away.
Exactly,
he threw,
right?
It'll become, you're an athletic cliche. You're a trope.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I probably look like the asshole there, but I'm like okay with that.
Yeah, well, Jess did a good job making you look like one.
No, because, no.
And making me feel like one.
Look like one.
Yeah, no, that's the deal. I've never been so scared to call someone fat in my entire life.
No,
the Pelicans did not sign up for 330. I'm sorry. I'm starting to get angry.
It's fine. No, I'm telling you, like I am okay presenting. I'm okay presenting.
Can I speak anymore? Jeez. Can I call a guy fat?
No.
No. It's 2021.
Luca called himself fat.
Just me. Just me. I'm the only one. You're allowed. You have permission to call me fat.
And Reggie Miller said Luca was out of shape. He's overweight. Reggie said it.
I love being able to still use Dan as my fat example. I'm like, Dan, you eat like grass-fed sticks and you're still huge.
It's true. And you hurt me by saying, and you've gained weight during the pandemic. It's true. I know.
I mean, I gained weight.
We've all been sad. We've all been sad.
You make it seem like shedding weight is so easy, though. You're like, a couple of jogs.
I mean, I make it seem like it's
you
easy.
You said it about me. You said it about Zion at some point. I mean, it's hard. I mean,
if a 6'6" individual comes in at 330 for a checkup with a physician, the physician's going to say, if that person has any interest in getting healthier, you should lose weight. Yeah. That is just from a medical perspective.
They'll say, Zion, what do you do for a living? I play basketball. 330, 6'6 can't be good for that. I mean, that's what a doctor would say.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily right. Like, people who weigh more.
A doctor!
They're a doctor. No,
people
I'm going
to say.
It's malpractice. That's what that is. It's malpractice.
Enough!
Oh my God, I can't have this conversation with you guys.
I, you know what? I do not reject that notion. I think we're incapable. Look, you're here in large part to open huge new avenues of thought I had never considered, because this would have been a totally different conversation had you not alerted me to this, and I'm thankful. But in terms of a road that I have to go down for this, I feel like I have a lot longer to try.
No, but here's the other problem with this.
So when you say you can't have this conversation with me, I agree.
This is the problem with this as well, too. You're taking away one of his signature tentpoles. If you take away his right to call me fat, Jessica, you have now taken away a fundamental American, Cuban-American freedom.
And a brand new Suey category that I was really excited about.
You can't.
Mike can do whatever
best
he
fat
wants.
Jokes?
I've never been like, hey, you shouldn't do. Have I ever been like, hey, you shouldn't do that?
No, but I'm a lot more gun shy now to call him fat.
Well, that's on you.
No, it's on you.
No, this is 100% on you.
No, see me, hear
if
me.
If you feel
it's
bad
on everybody.
About it and you're second guessing it, then like maybe you shouldn't have done it in the first place.
No,
if it was an ironclad thing to call Dan, then me poking holes in it wouldn't matter.
Dan, cool if I call you fat?
Oh, but here's the thing, though, Mike. I see her every time. The answer.
May I continue calling you fat?
The answer, of course, is yes. I will never take that tentpole from you.
Huge relief.
The answer, of course, is you, the audience, all of you. Yes,
my production skills at this point, 20 years into the game, are like 80% fat jokes.
You may continue. Yes, I don't want to take away the library we worked so hard to get from ESPN.
Mike and I have been chipping away at this for 20 years.
Yes, please.
Dan, I called you like Earl of Sandwich Campbell once, and I lost sleep for a week.
This is what I was going to say, though. This is where you guys aren't seeing the faces in the room the way that I'm seeing them, because I feel, now that I'm rewatching The Sopranos, I feel a little bit like Tony Soprano when they slow down all the guys in his crew and they're over laughing and he realizes that everyone's just a little bit fraudulent and he looks inside his own soul and he sees a vulnerable human being who's alone. When you guys start laughing and pointing at all my childhood insecurities and yelling fat guy across 45 years, every time you do it, I eat it because we formed it here. And every time you do it, I see the wince on Jessica's face. It hurts her every time one of you comes out and stabs me with a fat joke. Every time I see it on her face, she will not contribute to that. She sits it out every time.
I'm not really a fat joke guy either, to be fair. Like I've in daily
here comes the backpedal, Dan.
In daily life, I don't talk about anyone's weight. That's your business. But talking about sports. Talking about sports.
Weight's a factor.
Like, the Miami Heat's entire conditioning program is centered around your body fat percentage. The entire thing. You can't play at 330 pounds basketball at 6'6". You just can't.
I've never seen it happen.
Imagine Michael at 330 pounds.
I would love to. I am. It actually looks a lot like Zion.
It's a novel concept, but I actually think athletes deserve the same amount of sensitivity that we would talk about other people with. Unless it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, that dude sucks.
Wait, no.
Hold on.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
You've crossed the line, woman.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Let's go to 80.
His Bo. Name is Bo.
Wow.
I think Billy typed an 8 instead of a B. Fine.
It's a clear as day.
All right. $2.
Stugatz.
Number 8. Oh, that's crazy. It's Chris Corner on the line. CC, go ahead.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, I don't know what's going to happen here, and we have talked some about the business intersections on China that are complicated from company to company and country to country and communism to freedom, but it would appear, like very obviously and very famously, that what is happening right now in China with Peng Shuai, their most famous active tennis player, is something that needs to be in the attention of America continually and the world continually as we head into the Beijing Olympics. And now politics around business are getting weakened, where the U.S. is having a diplomatic boycott, which isn't a real boycott. And China's mad about the diplomatic boycott, which is just like, you know, our officials aren't going there. It doesn't mean we're not participating in the Olympics, but you've got the Women's Tennis Federation pulling out of China, saying, hey, proof of life, okay, you kind of did, I guess, but we're not sure she's safe. She made an allegation against a powerful figure, and we're not sure she's safe. And now we're doing the thing that other American businesses will not do. We're pulling out of China. We get a lot of money from China. We're pulling out until you can prove to us that this is this very simple human rights thing, Stugatz.
Right.
She made an allegation.
They didn't kind of do it, Dan. They didn't do it to the WTA satisfaction. So they pulled out of these events.
Okay, but now the IOC, still that guy, I mean, it's so corrupt, Stugatz. Now the IOC is finally saying It cannot give, quote, absolute certainty amid growing concern about Peng Shuai. The IOC, which has been corrupt, saying, no, we got to keep getting to these games. We got to keep getting to the games. Now is saying we can't give absolute certainty that she's okay after saying a couple of times that things were fine. And it would just be nice if American pressure kept getting applied on something like this, which isn't it, you know, just with attention.
Right.
It's not even a big ask, no matter
with
what
coverage,
your no matter what your politics are. Don't let this story go away because there's a sliver of light into what happens sometimes with authoritarian regimes, and they will close it that door again so that you can't see even that sliver of life. And here is a famous person, and people care about her, like from Naomi Osaka to that sport. People who care about the human being are like, is she okay? And we haven't been able to prove it now for months. We haven't had simple proof on for months. Is she okay?
Simple ass.
Before Beijing and the Olympics. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how these things escalate with sports as a leader. I don't know. But if someone's willing to challenge the money of China, you have a famous cause in front of you. With just prove to us that she's okay making an allegation, you know, in a time of Me Too, as we're, you know, demonizing the other, as there's Asian American hate all over the place. Don't let this be a victim that's a body that becomes more of a victim because you stopped paying attention, because you stopped caring, because you weren't willing to exert anything in the political realm of power to bring pressure upon a government that has so much money that it can withstand whatever the pressure is and continue doing business as usual.
Proving someone is okay seems like an easy ask. It seems like an easy thing to do. And the fact that they're not doing it, wouldn't that lead you to believe at this point, after so much time, that maybe she's just not okay?
Communist governments, authoritarian governments with this much power and money don't feel the need. Like, they've already extended themselves more than they would like. More than they would like. They get indignant when Daryl Morey says free Hong Kong and then take away money. When Joe Biden says just simply diplomatic boycott of Beijing, China gets offended. But they're kind of our equal now as a world power. And
they surpass us in many respects. Do you think, let me ask you this, the WTA made their decision on this, but it directly involved one of their athletes primarily. Do you think the IOC should be a political organization or just the capitalistic venture that it's
always kind of been? Wish it wasn't a corrupt organization.
Well, like, I mean, yeah, you're going to see that at FIFA. But the direct question is, do you think the IOC should have political leanings? I'm sure they flashed them in the past. I may not be aware of it. I don't want to sound naive. But do you think the IOC...
Okay, but Mike, but forgive me, but like, this morality, does this one have to be political? Like, this one...
Well, it's always political. I understand the morality aspect, but I'm separating it. It has massive geopolitical ramifications to it. So do you think the IOC, whose whole intention with the Olympic Games is to get every country competing through athletics, do you think... Because that's a very complicated thing.
It almost means
that, like, they can't be political.
But, Mike, what you're saying is the entire storm around sports and business and China and America that's going on throughout everywhere in America, where you're not hearing maybe what you want in terms of a flex
from
Hollywood or Apple or anywhere else because of the business tied into China.
But the complications here, because I guarantee you other countries view China differently. What you're applying are American values, as you should, as someone that grew up within freedom and a certain
In our
set of
world,
ideas.
Mike, in our world, China shut down the NBA's free speech on what's going on in China.
But that was an American enterprise that had business dealings specific to China. The IOC, and this is not an excuse, I think the IOC should do the right thing, and I honestly don't think it should come down to Peng Shuai. I really don't. There are other things that are going on in that country that would be cause enough for me to be like, we can't, in good moral conscience, have our event in this country. But that's me. That's me applying my prism of morals. The IOC, though, has to operate kind of absent of politics. It really does. This is how you have the moments where an Iraqi track star is going up against an American track star while there's a Gulf War going on.
But do you not understand the distinction that I'm making? Because, okay, you can make this argument on this side of it. But when I'm simply using this one thing as a symbol, and you're telling me IOC can't be political, and all I'm hearing
I'm not telling you.
Well, okay.
I didn't tell you anything. I asked you a question.
All right. So let's just make IOC aspiring to some sort of utopian political centrality, neutrality.
Yeah. Laughable, I know. But.
Okay. But let's just assume without bias, absent bias, totally neutral, and also not corrupt, just totally neutral. The question was, is she okay? And the IOC quotes was, she's fine. That's choosing a side, man. That's not sitting it out. That's not being political. That's choosing the wrong side on. Don't be part of the propaganda machine as the World Tennis Association takes its money out of there. Don't give me quotes from still in charge Dick Pound. That's his name, Dick Pound. Don't give me, she's fine, and I'm supposed to take that with the name of IOC because you're sitting out politics. No, you're not. You chose a side, and you're choosing the wrong one on, is she fine?
But isn't neutrality not even getting involved in the first place? That's what neutrality is. You don't even say, you're not putting yourself in a position to choose either on the side of Peng Shuai, although, I mean, who even knows what side she's on at this point, given the pressure that she's under. But them not getting involved, and I don't think them not getting involved would be acceptable to us. If we said they're not getting involved, we'd say, well, negligence is complicity in that spot.
Well, but like, it's not even that.
I'm saying their standard of she's fine is probably a lot different than what we'd like it to be applying our prism. They do owe it, I think, to their athletes. Hey, am I going to be okay going there? If I'm worried about if this person is fine. And I don't know the lengths of their investigation into this. I don't know if they picked up a phone and someone told them she's fine and they took it for her, or if they actually
spoke to her. Yeah. They spoke
the
to her.
The IOC
no, you can't, okay. You can't put your quote, you can't put on your name. when you got...
Well, if they ask Peng Shuai, are you fine? And the answer is yes, and they're relaying that message to us, it's very difficult. It's a very complicated situation. And I think in a utopian society, if excusing capitalism from this conversation, if the sole goal of the International Olympic Committee is to put on an athletic event that rotates host cities every 2 years between summer and winter Olympics, they almost have to be totally agnostic to politics.
But you can't when we know how Olympics changes politics within countries. The Sochi Olympics did a lot for Vladimir Putin. His approval level went to a place where he felt like he could invade Crimea. And it's because Russia had a pretty damn good Olympics that year, an Olympics that they were cheating at. And politics are inextricably linked, whether it's the actual improvement of presidential approval ratings, or when you look at the Montreal Olympics, what a disaster it was with all the white elephants that they had afterwards with the facilities that they built to host the Olympics. They are inextricably linked because governments put together those host proposals. And so, yeah, the International Olympic Committee, despite their utopian ideals, is a political organization, at least in part.
I super regret having this serious, serious subject matter after not having enough enjoyment at Stugatz in the last segment about weight, nodding earnestly at Jessica and saying all of the things you're saying are totally fair. And by the end of the segment, he was simply screaming from every angle, I can't say anything anymore. I'm not allowed to call an athlete fat. You can't take that away from me.
I've honestly moved on to Dick Pound. Did you say Dick Pound? There's a man roaming the earth named Dick Pound.
Why didn't he go with Richard?
Dick Pound.
There's such an easy out from the name Dick Pound. Rich. Richie. Richard.
LBs.
Just name.
Next level. Took me a second.
It took Mike saying it in my ear.
Stugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Plus, add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. No contracts to worry about and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.